Welcome to Cross Body of Work, a special Christmas episode. My name is Evan.
I'm Javier.
And Javier is singing Christmas carols for us. Yes, we are here to cover Christmas-themed wrestling matches. Once again, we did this 2 years ago. We took a break last year and instead reviewed the awful movie Santa's Sleigh starring Goldberg.
How disrespectful of you. How dare you?
Was it good?
It's some things are bad good. You know?
That's true. And it's bad.
Like good. It's a bad movie in like compared to like The Godfather Part 2. Yeah. Do I think it's winning any Oscars? Hell no. It's going to win a Razzie. But the problem is, right? We all want our movies to be Oscar winner, like these freaking cinematic masterpieces. When what happened to just making a damn entertaining movie?
I mean, I don't know if it was as entertaining as it wanted to be, but we're back to this path where we are covering some Christmas matches, some Christmas vignettes, mainly from the world of WWE, because that's where it's all available online. And WWE yeah. loves to do Christmas stuff around the holidays. Happy holidays to you, dear listener. Happy holidays to you, anyone viewing on YouTube. We're very happy that you're here to celebrate a little bit of Christmas cheer, because Christmas is on Monday, the day we're recording this on Thursday. This comes out yes. on Saturday, and then it's Christmas on Monday.
Yeah, I'll be on a boat throughout that entire thing. Big yes. old boat somewhere in the Caribbean.
Javier's going to be getting nice and crisp.
Nice
Caribbean.
And crisp. Oh, shit. I didn't buy sunscreen.
I feel like you tan exceptionally well.
I do not. I really? Burn like a fucking lobster. Interesting. It's bad. Doesn't make sense. I'm the only one in my family. But
I was going to say.
Yeah, I'm literally the only one in my family that does that. But anyways, yeah, so I'll be doing that. It's literally anti-Christmas is basically what I'm going to do.
Christmas with the pranksing. Yeah.
It's my favorite holiday. But yeah, no, I'm excited about this. Wrestling has always been so fucking dumb when it comes to the holidays.
It's the best.
Whether it's tribute for the troops or these Christmas-themed episodes. Or for some reason, Vince McMahon just likes beating up Santa. I like to think it's because he grew up poor, but that's, you know.
The opposite. It's because he grew up on the naughty list, and that's something we know for sure, as we'll talk about in one of our little spots here. Little programming note, there is no episode coming out next week, so don't worry if nothing shows up in your feed. We're taking the week off for the holidays. Javier, like he said, is going to be on a boat in the middle of an ocean, so he won't be able to record, and I'll be doing some family stuff. And we still have lots of content. Go to our YouTube, tons of content on yes. there. We just did Take a Card, Make a Card. We're going to be throwing up some throwback episodes on YouTube as well. But we encourage you to go back through our back catalog and just listen to anything that strikes your fancy. And then we'll be back for Japanuary in the new year and episode 200 at the end of the month.
Yeah, so with some exciting names that we'll announce eventually.
We will
Actually,
announce
no, we
them.
We have to announce them because next, technically we have no, next episode.
Because we have no episode next week. You're
one
right.
of them.
We will announce at least one of them at the end of this episode. Let's start with 1997. Raw. Two people I wouldn't have picked for a Christmas gimmick spot, but I'm excited for it. Let's talk with the artist formerly known as Goldust. What a weird Ooh. Time for Goldie.
I'm telling you, when he came out, I couldn't tell if he was a tree or a sexy Grinch.
He's both. He contains multitudes. Goldust, I'm just going to call him Goldust because referring to him as the artist formerly known as Goldust is a mouthful.
For thank you.
Thank you, Prince, for that gimmick, by the way. And just calling
the artist formerly known as Prince is such an iconic thing to have done. And I don't think Prince gets enough credit for it.
Just turned himself into a symbol. Goldust and Ludo Vachon are here. And yes, Goldust is dressed like a sexy tree. According to Jim Cornette, that's what happened to Mrs. Claus after they put in a nuclear plant at the North Pole, is how he describes Ludo Vachon.
Well, yeah. And then JR goes, like at one point when Goldust is getting into the ring, goes, now we don our gay apparel. And I was like, you know what?
Damn it, Jim.
Like, it's fucked. And like, because I know what he means by it. Yeah. But also, incredible timing by JR.
JR has some of the most low-key, wonderful comedic timing.
Like, shit. Like, he got me on that one.
Goldie is dressed in tinsel lights. He has a star on his head. Luna's on the mic. Saying Goldust, sorry, the artist formerly known as Goldust, wishes to express himself in verse.
Ooh.
Yes. Slam poetry. Everybody loves slam poetry, especially unannounced slam poetry.
And then he starts reading 'Twas the Night Before Christmas with like the weirdest lisp that I cannot recreate because I don't know how to recreate a lisp.
Well, also, he's attempting to do a stereotypical gay voice, but he's not good at it. That's how I would describe the lisp he's doing. No, he's not doing like Dusty or anything. He's just...
Shit.
I think he's doing, like, he's trying to do a stereotypical, like, gay voice, and he's just not...
You ever heard a gay man's voice sound like Dusty Rhodes?
That's kind of what Dustin ends up going with here. it's like... We read The Night Before Christmas every night before Christmas. Like, that was, like, a family tradition of ours. We had, like, this... It was, like, a cloth version of the book. That like,
yeah.
it was really nice. And we would read it as a family before Christmas, which was weird because we would also do Christmas on Christmas Eve. So we'd do it on Christmas Eve before dinner and then have dinner and then open our presents. And Christmas Day was just meant to vibe.
Christmas Day was always, to me, just watching basketball.
And that's what it will be for me as well.
Because it's always meant, like, for, you know, for us Latinos out there, we do Noche Buena, which is Christmas Eve, and that's when we, like, get together, we do our big old dinner, we exchange gifts, because you're already with the family, like,
with
cousins
the
and stuff like that. It's like, we're not going to exchange gifts tomorrow,
We're already here.
Yeah.
I always find it funny because
the 24th.
I thought I was the weird one growing up, because I was raised, like... I have a blended family. And with my mom, we did Christmas Day. And then we started with my stepdad, and he does Christmas Eve. And I remember being like, oh, like, we're the weird ones now. Everyone does Christmas Eve. The older you get, the more you realize, like, tons of Europe does Christmas Eve. Tons of Latin America does Christmas Eve. Yeah. It's a lot of just like, hey, North America is like, no, it's got to be Christmas Day. And, like, you know what?
It's
do just, whatever your family
there's
wants.
There's nothing open on Christmas, man. So it's like... True. You know, just it's the chill day. You just want to chill.
It's the chill day. Somebody has no chill, and that person is Santa. He arrives, and he's giving out candy canes. Goldust is not happy.
I would be so fucking happy if I was in the crowd, though. I love candy canes.
That's true. Candy canes are a good time. Also, it's snowing inside. In this clip. Isn't that weird?
I don't know, man. It could just be there's no roof.
They're just having a fucking bowl game.
Yeah, it's a ball game out there. Like, you know, did Tom Brady get a tuck rule happen? Was this the tuck rule game?
Luna says, don't you have a stocking stuff somewhere else? Goldust is trying to get through the story, and Santa just fucking clocks Goldust in the back of the head with the bag. Unbelievable.
He takes off the hat, takes off the suit, and we realize, oh, it's Vader.
A perfect choice for Santa Claus.
Did you... Obviously, you knew because it's in the clip and everything. But like watching Santa come out and all this stuff, would you have ever guessed that was Vader?
It looked nothing like. Obviously, it doesn't look anything like Vader because he has a big beard and a big hat and whatever. But like body, it doesn't look like Vader underneath.
No,
he looked fatter in a way.
It's the suit.
It's the suit.
The coat. It does this with everyone. It makes a skinny person look normal. It makes a normal person look fat. It makes a fat person look fatter.
I have been Santa before, in a couple of different contexts, where they're like, "You're jolly here," and I'm like, "All right." So, I agree. I will say though, the suit very comfy.
But it's
underrated.
Hot as fuck,
but very comfy.
That's my problem. I can't do that. I can't do it too hot.
I would like everyone to go and watch the clip just to see how hard Vader hits Goldust in the back of the head with this sack of toys.
Yeah, that was a donk right there.
He rocks him. Santa hits him with a big splash, obviously reveals himself as Vader Claus. Goldust scurries to the back. This is a fun little bit.
Yes, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it quite a lot.
I enjoyed it too. And they were getting ready for a match at the Rumble, I believe.
Ah.
Yeah. So
was
like
for the IC title?
I don't know if it was for the IC title or not. You introduce our next match and I'll look up that Royal Rumble card.
Our next match takes place involving someone who is more known for their adaptations as Santa Claus, Mankind, versus Santa Claus in a boiler room brawl.
The match at the Rumble was not for the IC title because Rocky Maivia was IC champion at that time, and he defeated Ken Shamrock in a match defending the IC title by DQ.
Oh, well, he's not Rocky Maivia at that point, then.
He's The Rock. The thing still says The Rock, Rocky Maivia. Why is Santa facing off against Santa in this match? This is very confusing to my brain.
Yeah, this reminds me of the Santa Claus 2.
I was about to say great movie, but that's the Santa Claus 1.
I like the Santa Claus 2 where he has to find a wife. I think it's the best of the three, personally.
Oh, I don't think it's... I think 1 is the best, and then 2 is good, and then 3... off a cliff.
Yeah, there's a nosedive. The Jack Frost thing didn't work for me.
And I love Martin Short, but it's a no from me, dog.
Work for me. Although, isn't there like a show? Didn't they make
the Santa Claus is a thing. Yeah. You know, it's a show. Never watched it. So we have a boiler room brawl. It's Mick Foley, who's of course well known for being Santa, like you said, against Santa. It's the December 20th, 1999 Raw. Michael Cole is interviewing Mankind about being in the match. And Mankind's interview before is really funny.
Yeah. He is just trying to pop everyone.
And he does crack Michael Cole a little bit. He talks about giving Santa a knee to the belly like a bowl full of jelly. And I was like, this is a Dusty Rhodes promo.
Ooh, baby. Yeah, I'm going to give him a nice knee to the belly. Make that knee to the belly like a
bowl full of jelly. He then gets mugged from behind by everyone's favorite trust fund kids, the Mean Street Posse.
Every time I see the Mean Street Posse, I just go, God damn it. Like, I can't imagine what it was like actually watching live during the Attitude Era when the Posse were, like, a thing.
See, I wasn't watching live. I mean, I guess I was by this point. Because, I started in February of 99. I don't remember the Mean Street Posse at all. Like, I have, like, a vague recollection there were men in sweater vests who would help Shane. And then, like, going back and watching, you're like, these guys all kind of suck.
It's like, bro, this is annoying. Like, it's not even like, it's not even like one of those things where, oh, they're generating heat. Heat is a good thing. It's more just like, I don't even want to watch this anymore. It's like, I don't want to watch anymore. Like, you've now made me want to skip ahead or like Nitro. Change the channel.
Yeah, I'll watch Nitro. I think Prince Iaukea is on Nitro. Mankind fights off the Mean Street Posse pretty easily and then just says, wait, did I just get my ass kicked by the Mean Street Posse?
Yeah.
He goes
into the boiler room. He finds Santa, who I do not think in any connotation that is a wrestler. I think it's just like a really good, it's like a Santa impersonator that they hired. Because
they went
he
to
looks
a mall
like
nearby.
A stereotypical Santa.
Yeah, they went to a mall nearby. And they're like, listen, we need you for the evening.
Foley says he doesn't want to do this. He doesn't want to have like a match with Santa. Santa says he's a good boy. He said he doesn't need this on his conscience, beating up Santa and all that stuff. He tells Santa to look like the way you win is to leave. I'm going to let you leave. You can go back to Mrs. Claus, back to the elves that you beat Mankind in a boiler room brawl. It's fine. It's not going to stain my conscience. Like beating you up, all this other stuff. Like he's like, just go.
Has Mankind had enough chair shots that you think he maybe thinks Santa's real at this point?
I mean, I would have thought that he would have thought that when he first started the Mankind gimmick.
Oh, that's fair, too. The childlike.
He's insane.
Yeah. So Santa's going to just leave and win the match, but three more Santas appear.
He just fucking beats their ass with the trash can, then he grabs
beats
a frying
the shit
pan.
Out of Santa.
He puts the trash can on one of them and starts beating on it with a frying pan.
The underrated shittiness of that bump for that Santa. Trash can on the head. You have no way of fully preparing for what's about to happen to you. And the frying pan hits him in what I think was like the chest. That sounds bad.
Yeah. To be fair, like, I don't know if it dented too much in.
Maybe that's a really good trash can.
Mick's probably just hitting it just enough to draw a noise, maybe not get some damage. Because you don't have to do much. I mean, it's a metal trash can and a frying pan. Like,
yeah, you're not the Houston Astros. You don't need to go crazy. There are two more Santas blocking the door. And so Mankind can't escape. Who are the two Santas blocking the door?
It's the New Age Outlaw.
But they're dressed like Santa. Like, the Santa costume budget on this episode of Raw is through the fucking roof.
How much do you know how much one of those Santa suits costs? Also, another question. If I wanted to dress up as Santa, do I have to go to like a Party City or is there like a Christmas tree shop? Where do I buy a Santa suit?
You can get a Santa suit at Party City in Canada for $120.
That's fucking nuts.
For a couple other ones, there's some rentals.
Jesus Christ. That's a crazy business. I never really thought about that.
There's a deluxe Santa suit. Well, this one you're renting is $160 a day.
They can kiss my whole ass.
What is the difference between a deluxe Santa suit?
Do they give you the fat belly? Is there like a fat suit?
Oh, it's just a more plush jacket and you have brass buttons instead of regular buttons.
They can kiss my ass.
Grab the brass buttons.
The Outlaws show up. Mr. Az back body drops Foley through a table that was conveniently set up. Foley uses a pan or a pan and rocks like a sheet pan. Yeah. Rocks them with it. He's about to use. He found a frame, like a picture frame, like a glass one with the frame parts around it.
Nice gift. Very nice gift.
Yeah, I want one. Yeah. And then he's like about to use it on Mr. Az, who he's got huddled in a corner, before another Santa shows up with a stack and breaks it right into his breaks the frame, like swings his sack into the frame, and the frame goes right into Foley and shatters. Who is this mystery Santa that shows up at the end?
I'm Santa. It's Triple H.
Yeah. He hits him with the sack again. Foley goes down like a sack of eggs or a sack of bricks. And then he just walks out. He wins the match. He takes off his old attire, and you can tell it's Triple H.
He has a festive suck it for Foley as well, which is very rude. Triple H, naughty list. Guaranteed. Triple H, naughty list from like 1998 through 2016?
No, 17? He gets it for 17 too. 17, yeah. Wasn't that the Shawn return?
Oh, yeah. Ooh, okay. When's 18? The last time Triple H got something other than Cole? For like the last couple of years, he's gotten stuff.
No, 2020 for the Rey Mysterio Seth Rollins storyline, he's getting that.
We're just finding reasons to not give Triple
H. What happened in 21? Did anything bad happen in 21?
Probably, but we've erased it from our memories. All right, we're going to take a break. When we get back, we have a legitimate wrestling match on a Christmas episode. Back from the break, and we are at Raw Christmas Day 2000. So it is December 25th, 2000, and we have a match between The Rock and The Undertaker. A little bit of context for the match. One, it's American Badass Undertaker who comes out to Roland. Merry Christmas to me. Who
what
doesn't
is, like, oh my God, what does he say at the beginning before the song actually starts?
I don't know.
It's like something, something, and then it just goes right into the keep rolling, 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 yeah, rolling.
I just know the cool parts, which is everything when it's the song is going on.
Because he says something cool.
Rock and Taker had won the tag titles of the Raw before from Edge and Christian and then lost them the next night on SmackDown that obviously aired 3 days later. So this is what happens in the year 2000. Titles go everywhere. This is why Edge and Christian.
Wait, I feel like we covered that, didn't we?
So we covered the Rock promo before. So they had that SmackDown and then it was like the next week they had the actual title match. They lose them. They get them back. So we covered right around there. Go and listen to our Edge three-parter. It was really good.
Fun time.
What do you think of the match?
First thought, Vince is absolutely shameless for making them work on Christmas.
Yeah, shameless. Vince does not give a fuck.
I mean, like, I don't know actually if it happens with Raw, but I know SmackDown, they'll like pre-tape it nowadays and throw it up there for holidays and stuff like that. Jesus Christ, though, man.
Are you ready
for this? Is it falling on Christmas this year?
Yeah, Monday will be Christmas Day, but I believe they're taping it.
Okay.
So yeah. Here's my favorite fun fact about this. This Raw takes place in Greenwich, Connecticut. So who gets to be home for Christmas Day in the morning when all of his employees don't?
Scumbag.
Isn't that the worst thing you've ever heard?
Well, no, he was home in the morning.
Yeah, that's what I said. Like, he gets to be home for the morning and then, I gotta go do Raw. Meanwhile, everyone else is in a hotel in Greenwich, Connecticut, and FaceTime doesn't exist yet. You're calling your kids.
Gumba. I mean, listen, it doesn't matter as much for Vince. I don't think either one of his Well, no, Stephanie definitely doesn't have a kid.
No.
And Shane doesn't have a kid either because his oldest is the running back.
But it's still so funny. That kid has sauce. I'm excited for him to eventually become a WWE wrestler. I think he has it. Anyways, I still find it funny. The only person who really has the option to spend Christmas with their family is Vince, and everyone else is like, fuck them.
Unless they live in New York, which I don't think, like, Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Bubba Ray and Taz get to have Christmas with their families.
Yeah, everyone else is either in Florida, Texas, or like North Carolina. So
what do you think of the actual in-ring here?
I actually thought this was really good. This is my recommendation of the matches.
Yes, if you're watching the match, this is the probably the best quality match. I will say this is the worst in-ring era for Taker until he's like too old to do it.
Well, this is fine. I mean, you know, he's just throwing a lot of punches.
It's a TV main event. This is just that's what it is.
Yeah. I don't know. There's like a really cool stare down at the beginning between them where they're just like looking at each other. And I'm like, this right here should have been the main event for WrestleMania. And I don't care what anyone says.
There was a like 2 year span, like 2000, 2001, where there was like 10 guys on the roster that if they just had a stare down that lasted a minute, the crowd would lose their fucking mind. Like any combination of like Austin, Triple H, Angle, Rock, Taker, Jericho to an extent, Kane. Like Kane, if they had a stare down, everyone would be like, whoa, that's all you need to do. Like,
you know, it's just fuck Austin, Rock in the main event. Give me any of that.
Give me Jericho, Kane.
Just one
night. Is that two Limp Bizkit references in the last like 5 minutes? I love it here. Yeah, this match is fine. This match is pretty good. Rock gets hit with rights to a point where he gets clocked clean out of the ring, which is always fun.
The selling was fucking hilarious, but also incredible. He was selling it like he was being shot.
Rock was steps away from the Shawn Michaels SummerSlam 05 school of selling. Like he was approaching
hilarious. It's hilarious. But it was actually like he was doing it in a way where it actually kind of made Taker look good.
Yeah, it made everything. It made all of Taker's strikes look good.
He was overselling, but Taker didn't have to like stop his momentum in any way.
No,
because Rock's still selling.
Like, yeah, Rock's kind of real perfect. Yeah,
He does his leaping clothesline. That thing he knows where he just shoots off the ropes. He jumps up with the clothesline. Yeah. Rock then hits a swinging neck breaker, side Russian leg sweep for a near fall, and then some interesting things that happened in this match.
Sure.
Was Taker targeting the kidneys. Getting kidney shots in the corner, forearm.
Yeah. And it's a good choice for Taker because again, like this is when the supernatural elements of his character have been stripped away. And what does that leave you with? It leaves you with a very tough Texan biker. Like he should be just working your kidneys with the best punches in wrestling. That's what he should be doing. He should just be like boxing on you as a way to kind of grind you down.
It's true. He hits a sidewalk slam, softening up that back a little more.
That's right.
Near fall. Rock counters into a DDT at one point, the little float over DDT, which I love.
I love Rock's running DDT. I love it because he puts his whole fucking ass into it. He, every time, there's so much movement. He swings so much. His hand goes up in the air. There's a lot of hips.
These two are just like fucking each other up. This becomes like a brawl very quickly.
There is a, and we must say, there is a semi-long Taker bear hug spot that happens right around here.
Yeah, I mean, he does a modified bow and arrow where his knee is right on the kidney. Then he goes into the bear hug spot, which is anyone better at taking a bear hug than The Rock?
No, you are correct. The Rock is super good at selling. Again, people make fun of The Rock's acting. He is actually a decent seller, so maybe that is acting. I don't know. He does the three arm raises, and he holds on the third one. God bless. Rock then fighting it out. Taker catches him with a DDT coming off the ropes. Taker's DDT off the ropes, also very good. Taker wants a choke slam. Rock avoids, hits more of his classic right hand. He's doing that stalking thing for the Rock bottom where he's kind of got his hands on his legs and he's waiting. Taker avoids, hits a huge choke slam.
Yeah, huge choke slam. Like, this is one of the better looking choke slams you'll see.
Rock's selling is so good. And then Santa comes up. Is that not Santa?
No, that's Rikishi.
In a red tracksuit.
He comes down. Taker punches him off the apron. The Rock ends up hitting a spine buster, and when he goes to do the people's elbow, he hits one rope. He jumps over Taker right to the other rope, but before he can do it, Rikishi pulls down the top rope. Rock falls out of the ring, and the referee immediately disqualifies the whole or calls off the match.
I did it for The Rock.
Except for this. I did it to The Rock. I would murder for Rikishi's tracksuit.
What is
unbelievable.
What is the most you'd be willing to pay for that full fit?
Oh, okay.
In a size that fits you, obviously.
Yeah, because that ain't fitting me.
that ain't fit most people.
Here's my question. Can I make it not say Rikishi? Because it says Rikishi on it. Can I make it not say Rikishi?
You can make it say, like,
Evan
Gomes.
Oh, my God. Like
Evan, if you want.
Ooh, $180.
Ooh, very specific.
Yeah, I didn't want to say 200. 200 feels like a lot, but I'm willing to go.
Oh, but $199.99 is where you draw the line.
Well, that depends. Are taxes included or not? Rikishi with thrust kicks, and you can see his kids at home taking notes, being like, those are good. Let's do those.
Those look good. Yeah, the thrust kicks are great. And then he just does a sit on all of them.
His bonsai drops,
but he's doing it while standing. Like, there's no ropes involved.
I don't think it matters when you're the size of Rikishi.
Well, it does, because he just freaking, like, basically, like, he just drops. It's not even like he, like, squats down on him. No, he, like, legs off ground. Boom.
This is my favorite Santa we see all day.
So the Samoan not trying to be Santa at all is your favorite Santa that we see?
It's the one time where Santa truly gets the upper hand in this. I'm not counting Triple H, because Triple H was still Triple H.
But Rikishi being Rikishi.
He's spreading Christmas cheer. There's thrust kicks for everyone. All right.
There's a lot of ass involved.
There's so much ass. Our next little, I don't know, this is a set of vignettes. This is, I think, my favorite Christmas episode of wrestling television. Because this is a through line.
I've never seen this before.
Really? So this is the through line for Raw. On our last Christmas episode where we covered matches, one of the matches we covered was Tajiri Claus versus Bubba Claus, which is from Raw 2001. These are the dueling Christmas parties that set up Tajiri Claus versus Bubba Claus. It's because this is when Ric Flair and Vince McMahon were co-owners of WWF. So they're having dueling Christmas parties to decide. And all the faces go to Flair's party and all the heels go to Vince's party. There's so much that happens. I love this. This is my recommendation for the week.
Yeah, this is also my recommendation for the week. Not even close.
All right, so let's compare parties. Vince's party has Elf Briscoe and Elf Patterson, who are arguing immediately. he has Bubba Claus, which is Bubba Ray Dudley in a beard, and has Stacy on his lap. And he tells her she's been like a naughty girl. Claus. Yeah, it's a lot. Booker T is here with Big Boss Man in a suit.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
I don't remember that at all.
I don't remember that being a partnership at all.
But, like, cool. Booker T got a contract for Christmas because that right before this, like a week before this, was the him beating Austin for the first time. And, like, right around, like, this is obviously the feud that has the supermarket fight.
Of course, which was amazing.
Vince has a surprise for everyone.
He says he brings out reindeer, which is just a bunch of hoes.
Well, it's dancing ladies. He calls one of them Vixen, and then he quickly runs out of appropriate reindeer name for them. He's like, Vixen, Cupid.
One of them?
And then he's like, it is weird that there's, like, I've seen this joke on Twitter already where it's like the names of the reindeer make it's like Dasher, Dancer, Prancer, and then that's the sexy one, Vixen.
What about, isn't one of them called like Blitzen or something?
Blitzen. Dasher, Dancer, Prancer, Vixen, Comet, Cupid, Donner, Blitzen. And Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
The fact that you knew all of that.
I think, like, this is common knowledge. I think people know the names of the reindeer.
I know like four of them.
Do you know the 10th reindeer?
That's Olive.
Nice. Well done. I couldn't
love
fool
that
you.
Movie. All of the other reindeer.
So at the Flair party, Trish is there. Kane, Edge, and Albert are all hanging out, which is what would they talk about? Tori is onto Jerry Claus's lap. And now here's my question. Knowing what the scope of what's going on, which party would you go to first?
Oh, Flair. First off, Flair before, party. anyone even asks, like, or gives me any context as to who's going to what. Do I want to go to a party that is hosted by Ric Flair or a party that's hosted by Vince McMahon? I want to go to the Flair party.
That's true. I want to go to the Flair party.
Like, it's going to be a good time, regardless of the fact that Flair's party.
Him and Big Show are doing the Flair strut. There's Big Show is Woo! Having the He's time marking. Of his life during this party.
He's marking the fuck out. Tajiri is Tajiri Claus. He gets, I don't know who is sitting on his lap. I couldn't tell.
It's Tori.
It's Tori? I couldn't tell because it's, it was a little grainy, so I couldn't really make out her face.
Yes, we ripped this directly from my family's VCR this week.
I
taped over my own christening, and instead I have this episode of Raw from 2001.
Anyways, he gets her a pair of thongs.
He gets her like the smallest lingerie possible. Also, later on, Stacy and Tori would have an eggnog match because that's the kind of wrestling we had in 2001.
Sounds fun. I want a clip of that match. Anyways, Hogan or Hogan.
What? You like eggnog?
I've never had eggnog.
Okay, I know we've broached this topic before. I don't know if it was on air or not, but I fucking hate eggnog.
I probably had the same answer then. I've never had eggnog.
I just don't. There's no other nogs. Why do we trust
one? My thing is, right, I just don't see the appeal of an egg-based drink.
Me neither.
So I've stayed away from it.
We don't do egg-based drinks, and we also don't do any other nogs. Why would the one time I have either of those things be together?
What is a nog?
What is a nog?
What a nog is.
What is a nog? Why is this a Seinfeld bit? What is nog?
Is that a part of Festivus? Anyways.
I got a lot of problems with you people.
Big Show does a flawless Hulk Hogan impersonation. And then Deborah comes through with some cookies. Says Austin will be there soon.
Great party.
Great party. Vince has the women dancing. They're just on top of Dave on tables dancing.
Your favorite tag team has a little like moment together, and I love it.
Shout out to Billy and Chuck. They exchange gifts in a very dumb bro way. And it's headbands that have each other's names on them.
It's cute.
Yes. Taz asks Bubba Claus to represent Santa a little better because he's over here being very indecent.
Yes.
All this stuff, and it's like, hey man, you ever been to a mall with Santa in it?
You ever seen that Santa's going out.
That Santa's leaving every 15 minutes to rip some cigs in the parking lot.
Santa can be found later, three margaritas deep at Applebee's. All right,
yeah, like he's after having a hard time. Day's work.
Bubba says, "You're just mad, Taz, because all my elves are taller than you."
That's a
fantastic bar.
That's a bar right there.
The Fink is here. Howard Finkel, God, with an appearance. That's exciting. If I'm having a party and Fink shows up, I'm excited. Fink says he brought in two fine ladies. Obviously, if two women are ever mentioned as in this era, you know who it is. It's Fabulous Moolah and Mae Young.
Why?
I don't know. Also, according to Merriam-Webster, a nog is a strong ale formerly brewed in Norfolk, England.
Wait, nog is... Hold on. Whoa. It has alcohol in it?
According in terms of its first use, yes. And then a lot of people spike eggnog. Like that's the way to drink it.
Just give me the alcohol. I don't need the nog part of it. Like
eggs don't involve eggs in any of this.
What are we doing? Can we use those eggs for anything else? Like, couldn't you make me some fucking cupcakes with those eggs? Like, I would have much rather have a cupcake and a fucking little glass of whiskey or some shit. I don't know.
So we're back to Flair's party. Arn Anderson is here and immediately is double fisting because Double A does not do anything half-assed.
Yeah, he shoots people. He fucking gets double fisting.
Don't listen to our Arn Anderson episode. Where we get to watch Arn Anderson fucking shoot people.
If Arn Anderson is at a party and he sees things getting rowdy, he ain't going to ask questions. He's going to let it fire with the Glock.
Speaking of things getting rowdy, Stone Cold is here with his own cooler. He gets the what chant going because this is when the what chant originated.
Oh, my God.
He's tossing beers to everybody. Tells Tajiri to stop jingling his jingle bells.
He's doing that. I forget. He says one other line, and then he goes, "There's a hurricane coming through." And it becomes, yeah, it's Hurricane and Beer. And I don't know why I had to pause the video because I was dying, Evan. Just the way he said it. There's a hurricane coming through.
He's so excited. Stone Cold is loose here. He's having a good time.
He's 100% inebriated. Like, shoot, inebriated. There's no shot he did this sober.
Austin has a list for Tajiri Claus, so he sits on his lap. Tells him to scooch over a little bit.
Says, go ahead. Go one by one as he does.
Want a case of beer?
What?
Another shot at Booker T?
What?
Shot at the Undisputed Championship?
What?
A deer rifle?
What?
Another middle finger to flip everybody off?
What?
Another beer?
What?
A new truck?
What?
Quite the list. He's got lots of things. He's been like, very
good. Damn. I didn't know Santa was this lit.
Speaking of lit, the opposite of lit is happening at Vince's party. Vince's party is getting, it's sad times.
Oh, dear God. Yeah, it's cleared out. We go back and Test is there with another blonde woman who I cannot tell who that was.
Terry Runnels.
It was Terry Runnels. Jesus Christ, yeah. She's still around. Anyways, so he's hitting on her. He pulls out a mistletoe, sells her one, like wants a smooshy moosh smooch, and she's like, "Didn't you lose last week or something like that?"
To the Rock.
It's like, yeah, everyone loses to the Rock, lady. Anyways, they go a little back, little to cut to another part of the party, and Maven's getting interviewed
in a tank top.
Why is Maven here?
Who invited Maven? Two. Why isn't he dressed up? Three, why is he being interviewed in the middle of a party?
Yeah, what's going on here? Why is there a microphone here?
Was this the Vanity Fair after party? What are we doing here?
Unless that's the karaoke microphone that someone just snatched and this is like a whole bit, there's no shot that this is okay.
Christmas karaoke, what song are you doing?
Ooh.
Yeah,
that depends. Am I duetting?
No, it's just
you. Or am I solo? Last Christmas, not even close.
Ooh, that's a great choice.
Not even close.
That's a great choice. Christmas in Hollis, Run DMC. And I'm fucking crushing it. I'm absolutely killing it.
Although, it depends. If I am inebriated in any sort of way, there is going to be 100% just me making sure everyone shut up. Shut.
I figured you would somehow work Mariah Carey into this. Maven gets confronted by Booker T, who challenged him to a match because Maven laughed at Booker T getting whooped by Austin last week. Mae Young is just mainlining alcohol at this point.
Yeah, they drinking.
Yeah, they are drinking.
Jericho comes in.
Yeah. Does his shirt have flames on it? Is he in an anime shirt?
Nah, bruv. He's in a Guy Fieri shirt.
Yeah. Chris Jericho, the Undisputed Champion of Flavortown.
So he's clearly gonzo. He's trying to explain
he has a match against both Rock and Angle for his title, and
it was Vince originally against The Rock,
and Vince is trying to explain Angle to him that this is actually better for Jericho because Vince is actually who taught Scott Steiner math. So Vince is
trying. I got 133 and 1/3 chance of winning.
Then we get a weird, like, sad moment in these parties.
Yeah, Stephanie McMahon shows up and the music stops.
It's awkward.
She's
sad because her and Vince are on bad terms, but she's like near tears and she's like, "I made a gift for you, Vince," and he gets her to open it, which is a weird choice. And it's a necklace and it has his initials on it.
That was a money clip.
Oh, I thought it was a necklace.
No, it's a money clip.
No, I couldn't hear what she said because, again, this video is directly from 2001. Vince is immediately suspicious.
Like, you just want to manipulate me and get, and she wants back in. And no, I'm not letting you back in. Get out of here. Get out.
Everyone's awkwardly staring at Vince and he just goes, "Damn it, party. Have fun," which is how I imagine he walks into like talent meetings.
We go back to Flair's party. Tajiri is out here giving everybody gifts. Taz says that Flair has a good Santa Claus, unlike Vince's party, who has a bad Santa, but he's bigger and more jolly, apparently. Mm-hmm. That's what he heard.
And so that's what sets up the match we covered in our last kind of Christmas special, is the Tajiri Claus Bubba Claus match.
Yes. The Austin, it makes a match between the two Santas because he's like, what the fuck's going on here?
Austin,
I just wanted to Vince instead of Austin. I don't know why.
Yeah. Austin has a guitar and they're singing some Jingle Bells and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer plus what chants?
Jingle Bells, Jingle Bells, Jingle all the way. What?
How much money for you to sit through a full 60-minute Austin set?
I would pay for it. Like, how much would I get paid? I mean, obviously, if I can have the opportunity of getting paid, I would.
You would pay money for a 60-minute Austin set?
I'm telling you right now, if it's announced that Austin is going to be on my cruise line and I have to pay $20 to go watch him, I'm paying the $20.
You should turn your cruise into a wrestling cruise. I don't care if it's a carnival cruise or not. Like, you should just start clotheslining people. Bring a money in the bank briefcase with you and cash in on the captain, and then it becomes your boat.
Oh.
Yeah, that's how that works. People don't know that.
Think about that. They didn't know that. I didn't read the fine print.
Works. Yeah. You can be Captain Phillipsing very soon.
Yeah, but then I have to drive the boat, and I don't want to do that.
Well, you can delegate. You have people on the boat.
The fucking captain isn't one of them, because I just knocked his ass out.
Kurt is at the Vince party and says, like, your Olympic hero is going to win the Undisputed Championship. He says he'll strip The Rock of his pride, and Mae Young, hearing the word strip, immediately is like, time to get naked.
One of the Stooges, I don't remember, was it Briscoe, ends up head like on top of her trousers.
Oh, that was Patterson.
Just staring up at her hoo-ha.
The reason being, Stone Cold Steve Austin just crashes the party, takes down Vince, drowns Elf Briscoe in the punch. Like, kind of tries to kill him, and then holds Elf Patterson between Mae Young's bare legs, staring up at her. That's all I'm gonna say.
You ever see Beer Fest?
Yes.
You remember when? What is it? Was it Wasteland?
I have not seen Beer Fest
since it came out. When I think it's Wasteland. When the fat one gets killed by Monique. A spoiler for a movie that came out in like 2007 or whatever. Yeah. He gets dumped into the big vat of beer, and his thought process is, I'm just gonna drink it. Is that what you would do in that situation with the punch?
With the punch, yes. With Mae Young, no. Honestly, you should go watch these Christmas parties. Yeah, the clip is bad. If you have Peacock, go and watch this episode of Raw. It's from 2001.
Fucking hilarious.
It's probably the best Christmas episode that they've done overall. I think it's a fair assessment.
Our next
match is not a match again. It's Vince versus Santa once again. It is Christmas from Baghdad 2005. It's a SmackDown edition that is live from a base in Iraq with the troops as the audience, which is very cool.
Yes. It's cool that they would do this, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. Everyone deserves to have a little bit of Christmas or a little bit of holiday cheer inside of them.
That's the thing is, even Vince coming out. So Vince starts this episode, and Vince is very like honest and earnest in the beginning of this, where he's just like, they're here on behalf of all Americans, like all freedom loving people, to say thank you. You deserve some form of home and some entertainment and some joy around your Christmas. And if we can bring that to you, then we're very happy to do that. And like,
they can't be home with their family, so they brought a little Americana to them.
There's very few times I feel like I'm hearing Vince honestly talk in a way that he's like, he believes in, because he's always Vince, even when he's in like meetings and like, I feel like he's always him. This, I'm like, oh, like that's
Austin podcast.
I feel like that's Vince McMahon talking. Like, I feel like this is like one of the rare glimpses. I'm like, oh, it's Vince. And like, it's not like a controversial opinion to like support the troops, but obviously, like, I think this is something he like truly believes in, which is cool.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe a little bit controversial back in like 2005 or whatever this is.
Yeah, it gets obviously like he didn't approve the war in Iraq, but like he's here to help the people who are here.
I'm not gonna blame him.
Santa's also here. He brought bags of presents.
this reveal shook me to the core.
Really?
I must say. It looks nothing like him.
It does look nothing like him.
Nothing like him.
We'll have to rank all of our Santa impersonators by the end of this. But yeah, this looks nothing like him. So Santa's here. He's got two bags of presents. He's giving them out to the active service people. Santa has no presents for Vince and doesn't say anything. He just shakes his head. Says the presents are for the troop. Vince calls Santa back as he's trying to leave. And he's like, Santa, there's no present for Mr. McMahon. He wants an explanation. Vince says Santa never stopped by when he was a kid. And I believe that wholeheartedly.
Yep. Well, he grew up poor, so.
I don't think Vince has ever received a gift from Santa, ever.
Did you?
Of course. I received a gift from Santa.
Santa wasn't giving me shit, bruv.
I agree with this. Like, there's like this debate online I sometimes see with like parenting YouTubers or TikTokers or whatever. People give advice. And they're like, listen, just like, don't make the expensive gifts from Santa. And yes. I think that's actually very good advice. Like, Santa should be in charge of like stockings, maybe, or like small things, or like candy, or like that's
teddy
all
bear.
Good. Like a teddy bear. But like everything else should be mom and dad. So that way your kid doesn't go to school and be like, Santa got me an iPod. And another kid's like, Santa got me socks again.
First off, the socks kid wins.
Honestly, I need more socks and underwear, but I also know my parents. And I'm like, that's what I'm going to get. So I'm just waiting.
I just get PJs every year. My mom gets me a set of PJs.
I don't need the amount of pajamas. I have so many Christmas pajamas that I don't need. I've been I've been wearing pajamas for like one day at a time. Like instead of like
I have to throw away a pair, like a like combo.
But it feels bad. This year. It feels bad.
Yeah, I don't know.
Did you do it anyways?
What do you mean?
Did you throw them out anyways?
No, I haven't got it yet. It's only the 21st, man.
Oh, like you're gonna throw out the new one?
No. I'm gonna have to throw an old pair of PJs away. Because I literally am not going to be able to, like, first off, I don't know if my drawer with all my pajamas and stuff in there.
My drawer's holding on for dear life.
I don't know if it's going to be able to, like, fit anything else. It's already struggling as is. And I've got everything, like, tightly folded and stuff.
Our apartment is also super fucking hot. And, of course, Christmas pajamas are, like, flannel. Like, they are meant for, like, keeping toasty.
Fuck. No, my mom doesn't get me Christmas pajamas. She just gets me normal pajamas.
No, I always get like Christmas pajamas, which
that
again
make
like,
any sense because by the time you're going to use them, it's no longer Christmas.
You and I are on the same boat, my friend.
Anyways, at what age do you think that you stopped believing in Santa?
I know exactly when I stopped believing in Santa.
God, how old were you?
I was in the third. I was eight. I was in the third grade.
Yeah.
How old were you?
I was really young. I don't remember the exact moment, but I knew by like age five I was done.
Okay.
Mom loves to think that it's like around 8, 9 because I remember my brother was being like an asshole to me and my mom still thought I believed. And so to throw him under the bus, I like went to my mom and was like, Frankie told me that Santa isn't real and that it's you guys that buy his presents. And she was like so pissed at him for telling me.
So I was eight, so I was clearly annoying, and I annoyed my older brother, and he was like, go look in mom and dad's closet, and I was like, why would I do that? And I like walked in the closet, and I'm like, why did he say from Santa? Because as an eight-year-old, remember, I sounded like John Mulaney, and I was like, what are they doing here? And I saw that, and so I was like, oh, is Santa not real? And so I learned then, and my older sister was so fucking mad at my brother because she was still enjoying that like someone in the family believed in Santa, so you could still do the Santa stuff because she was five years older than me, so she was like, this is exciting, like heaven still believes, like isn't that nice. She didn't talk to him until Christmas. She didn't talk to him for like a week. She was like, absolutely not. Like, she was so fucking mad at him. And so it's a fun story for me now. But yeah, no, he was annoyed with me, and then she was so mad at him. Anyways,
we didn't have that.
Santa wants a handshake from Vince. He just wants to shake Vince's hand. Santa's a fan. Santa's been watching the dub for a while.
Vince goes, you don't bring me a gift, I don't shake your hand.
Not only do I not shake your hand, I hit you from behind.
Yeah, he gets behind Santa when Santa's not looking. He decks him from behind. Santa falls down to the ground. And then he starts taking off all the garb. And who is Santa Claus?
Santa Claus is Stone Cold Steve Austin. Stone Cold Santa Claus.
He gets a loud ass pop.
He gets a huge pop. Santa makes Vince turn around. Double birds and a Stone Cold Stunner, of course.
Honestly, might be the best stunner Vince has ever taken.
It's a really good stunner sell by Vince. By 2005, he's taken quite a few of these.
Yeah, and they've all sucked except this one. This one's actually fine.
Santa then has some beers. He's having some beers in the room. Does his little promo, gets on the ring, on the mic, says he'll hold off on the Christmas carols because he's got a little horse in his voice. And then, like, does some, you know, more, you know, talk about the troops. You know, privilege to hang out with you guys, see what you do. WWE.
Go back and drink some more beers.
Yeah. We're behind you 120%. Says Austin gets a big display of middle fingers. Everybody in the crowd throws up the birds and says Saddam can shove these up his ass. And I was like, this is 2005. This is the most 2005 thing I think I've ever heard.
All we need is, like, fucking, God, who is big in 2005?
Like, if Yeah by Usher started playing, like, this would be the most 2005 thing I've ever heard.
It was 2005. There's no way
that happened. 2004. It bleeds over. Yeah,
there's got to be like a fucking American Idiot has got to start playing.
That's a good show too. All right, we're gonna take our last break. When we get back, guess what? Another match with Santa Claus.
More Santa.
Back from the break. More Santa. This time it's next year. It's December 21st, 2006. It's SmackDown. It's Batista coming out to kick off SmackDown. This hey, rules. Yes, a perfect rendition of Batista's entrance music. Thank you.
I walk along inside this bitter danger.
Batista's world heavyweight champion at this point, and he is here to kick off SmackDown in a place close to his hometown, because we're in Virginia, and he's obviously from Washington, D.C., so he's very popular. But also,
close to Maryland.
2006, Batista was just popular in general. This era Batista fucking rules.
This era Batista just teamed up with John Cena.
Yes. He talks about how happy holidays. He just teamed with John Cena. Who did he beat?
I think it was Finley and Edge.
Yeah. Yeah. Two people that didn't like Finley and Edge.
Finley and someone.
Finley and somebody. And he talks about his journey from vacating the title at the beginning of the year because he got injured right at the beginning of 2006, and his long climb back to winning the title at Survivor Series, which I didn't realize was such a good story.
Yeah.
That's a really good story for Batista, is his, like, vacant title and having to come back.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I still remember when he had to vacate. It was heartbreaking.
It's tough. It was very tough.
And then, you know, him relinquishing the title. I don't remember who got the title at that point, but it eventually gets on Rey Mysterio, and then Rey has his run, and it's Buka.
It goes to Kurt, doesn't it?
Is that... No, I think Kurt might be the next year, maybe. I think that might be Kali, actually, now I think about it.
I'm going to look it up. You talk about what's happening with Batista here.
It's either Kurt or Kali. Anyway,
it's Kurt.
Yeah.
Kurt. It goes Kurt, Rey, okay. Booker, Batista.
Yeah, he says the hardest thing he's ever done was doing that. Yeah, Santa interrupts him, starts throwing shirts into the crowd.
Which
clutch.
Great fucking gifts.
Yeah.
I genuinely, now that I think about it, I should have put some merch on my Christmas list this year. Because, like, I never think to buy WWE merch for myself. But I should have put merch on my Christmas
list. What do you want? Do you want a Yeet shirt?
No, I want that ECW snapback I sent you the one time.
Yeah.
Those retro snapbacks slap.
I want the Rhea's My Mommy shirt.
You should have that.
Anyways, he gives a little tiny box to Batista. It's just a box full of candy canes. Batista starts tossing candy canes into the crowd. I would have been so into the candy canes. I would have been like, give me all of them.
Batista looks giant here because I don't know if the candy canes are small, but you can't tell if they're supposed to be regular size or not. Batista looks like a giant here.
He's a big boy.
He's just picking them up with like two fingers and just whipping them into the crowd. And then Santa
it might
has
be mini candy canes because
Santa
doesn't
has a lead pipe. Santa has a lead pipe and he fucking clocks Batista from behind. What is going on?
Yeah. Yeah.
Santa with a heel turn.
Yeah, Santa turns heel. Batista turns around, gets hit with the pipe shot. Santa goes to leave. Teddy Long comes out, tells Santa that his present is a match against Batista, playa.
Playa. I love how no matter what, when you quote, even if he said it or not, any Teddy Long sentence ends with playa.
What the fuck you say to me, playa?
He did say it in this instance, but no matter what, like Teddy Long's like, hey, Teddy, go to the drive-thru, order what you want. He's like, I want a McDouble and a large fry, playa. Like, it ends with playa, no matter what.
That'd be credit. I'm playing that with credit, playa.
So Santa has to have a match with Batista. Tough. Santa, I will give Santa credit, immediately hops on the offensive. He is like, all right, if I have to fight him, I fucking will.
Yeah, he says, if he dies, he dies. He does an arm DDT to the injured arm.
Yeah, he's working that left tricep of Batista.
Taped
yeah.
arm, I should say.
Yeah.
Back body drop, clothesline, spear by Batista. And apparently, it's someone named, like, Zuman? Uman?
No. Q-mon? No. You misheard him.
QAnon?
It is Sylvain Grenier. A joyeux Noël to you, mon
français. Oh, so they were saying Sylvain. Okay.
Sylvain Grenier. Oui, oui, mon Stop. Ami. A joyeux Noël.
Okay, please tell me that Sylvain wasn't getting any, like, matches against Batista, like, legitimately. Hold on.
No, he was not having a feud with Batista. He just happened to be Santa that day. What a weird choice.
Anyway, Spinebuster.
No shaming.
Spinebuster, Batista bomb. 1, 2, 3. Batista retains. Big pop from the crowd. Blah, blah, blah.
All right, rank our Santas we've seen today. Vader Claus.
Well, there's still one more Santa.
Oh, fuck. There is still one more Santa. I forgot there's one more Santa in this one. Our last match is a Miracle on 34th Street fight. Not the one that just happened between R-Truth and JD McDonagh, but the one that happened in 2012. It was fun. The one that happened in 2012, Christmas Eve Raw, and it's Alberto Del Rio versus John Cena. The setup for this match earlier in the night. Santa Claus was giving out candy canes and presents to people right next to the entrance ramp, and Del Rio came out with his car and hit Santa. He hit Santa with his car, and Ricardo Rodriguez was beside himself. Crying.
I've heard of Grandma got run over by a reindeer.
Yeah. But now Santa got run over by a Rolls Royce. It's happening.
Getting run over by a Rolls
Santa
Royce.
Santa got run over by an asshole. Great song.
Going home in a Rolls Royce.
Ricardo Rodriguez, like I said, is crying during the entrance because he's so sad that Santa got hit. And Cena is takes the match because he's defending the honor of Santa Claus. Like, listen, if you want, John Cena is the most over person in the world with the children. You want him to be more over, he defends the honor of Santa Claus.
Especially in a year where nobody really cares much about John Cena because it's 2012.
I thought you were going to say nobody cares about Santa Claus. I was going to say, shut your mouth.
Yeah, no one cares about Santa Claus now.
So the match itself. Whoa. I'm sorry. Did you say nobody cares about Santa Claus now?
The TikTok generation doesn't give a fuck about Santa, man.
How dare you? Have you lost your Christmas spirit, young man?
You know what the kids care about now, Evan? The little ones who actually believe in Santa?
What?
Bluey. They want Santa Bluey. They don't want Santa Claus.
We cared about SpongeBob. Like, you can still, like, there's place in your heart for cartoons and Santa. Man.
Nah. They don't know what Grandma got run over by a reindeer is. They don't know about all of the other reindeer. What about none of that?
No, but they get their Christmas music from Spotify, like the rest of us.
Nah, they get it from Bluey.
What is your bone to pick with Bluey? It's a good show.
I just
show.
Think it's so dumb. I don't know what's going on with Bluey, but I don't like it. It's just, give me Blue's Clues.
You're just afraid of change. Cena with corner punches, Del Rio sends him to the outside. Cena gets sent on the steps by Del Rio. Del Rio gets a mic from Rodriguez and says, it was just an accident. I didn't plan on hurting Santa. Which, like, yeah, man, we know you hit him with a car. Like, I don't think this was premeditated. I don't think you were like, you know what will be fun to do? Run over old Saint Nick.
I feel like that's the move, personally.
Del Rio goes to hit Cena with a microphone, and Cena holds him off like they're having a fucking lightsaber duel. Cena, for no reason. I'm so sorry for my neighbors, but Cena just goes, Santa! I like it gives him strength. Like it powers, it fuels him, and uses that to send Del Rio to the outside. Which is great. Sinon wraps a present ringside. This is a gift you've all seen. It's a chair. And he's never been happier. It's exactly what he wanted. His face. John Cena's facial expressions are so fucking funny.
Yeah. He's the most unintentionally fucking hilarious person ever. John Cena, you know what John Cena was meant for?
Miming?
He was made for those like early to mid 2000s like comedy action movies.
Oh yeah. Yep.
Like the fucking ones that would go to like Mark Wahlberg or like Sean William Scott or Penn, whatever the fuck that guy's name is.
Sean William Penn would be quite a choice, but no, you're thinking of Stifler?
Stifler.
Sean William Scott.
Yeah, there we go.
Sean like, Penn did, people did Milk and Mystic River.
Maybe a Ryan Reynolds would pop up in that point. Like, it's, you know, things like that, you know, and I just feel like John Cena was made for those roles.
John Cena, this is John Cena's third best reactionable gif. The second one is the one where he's just really surprised in the ring. And the first one is when he wins the Money in the Bank and doesn't know what to do with himself. So he just goes, ah!
Santa!
He's going to get the win after the chair shots, but then Ricardo Rodriguez pulls the ref out of the ring during the pin. Cena chases Rodriguez around the ring, brings him into the ring, and Del Rio gets the upper hand when he cuts him off. Rodriguez has a present for Cena. It's a pie! Of course it ends up in Rodriguez's face, because Del Rio tries to hit Cena, and Cena ducks.
Pies, rank them. Go!
I'm not a pie guy.
I've never had any like real pie. I've had banana cream pie.
Banana cream pie is good. I'm an apple guy. Apple pie is my.
Never had an apple pie. The only apple pies I've had came from like McDonald's,
and that's not apple pie. That is
whatever it was. If you put it with some vanilla ice cream, it was pretty bomb.
I mean, yeah, cinnamon and apple is will do that. My bottom. I am not a pumpkin pie guy. I'm not a pumpkin guy at all. I don't know who looks at a pumpkin and is like, that's delicious. Like, who's doing that? Why?
I will say I've had a pumpkin risotto and also a pumpkin ravioli that were both excellent.
These
were at Italian restaurants. This isn't even like it's the north end of Boston is known as being like our little Italy. Pretty much. Like, it's just all, it's literally an Italian restaurant, like all of them, just all the Italian restaurants you could think of. And so I've had both, and they're very good.
I know you said they're at Italian restaurants, but I heard the rat Italian restaurant. I was like, did you get ratatouille food?
That's outstanding. No, it's actually Raccoonui.
We couldn't afford the name brands. We got a raccoon to come in here and cook. Let him cook. We're at the top of the entranceway, and Cena gets another gift. It's a monitor, and he cracks Del Rio with it, and he falls in the presence.
Who wrapped these gifts?
Some lunatic. We come back, and Del Rio's in control. Del Rio opens another present, and it's a teddy bear, and he's so disappointed in Ricardo Rodriguez.
What the fuck?
And so then he throws it at Cena, and Cena, no light work, no reaction. Absolutely no sells. A teddy bear shot.
Another one of those just comedic reaction type things. That's just so hilarious. A little down the line.
He puts the wreath over Rodriguez too and slams him. And then he gets a couple more presents. He hits Del Rio with a tree. He gets a bowling ball and he bowls a perfect strike onto Del Rio's nuts. Then we get a fire extinguisher spot. That's fun.
Yeah, he gets a fire extinguisher from a present. And then Del Rio's begging off. And this is the point where he starts begging off. Of all the things, not the bowling ball to the Nards, not the tree, not the freaking monitor. The fire extinguisher is where he draws the line.
If you had like, if you're doing like a White Rabbit secret Santa exchange here, which of those gifts would you want to end up with? Chair, monitor, bowling ball, teddy bear, fire extinguisher.
Honestly, the bowling ball would be kind of gas because then I could just like take the bowling ball, especially if it actually like fits me.
Yeah,
like my fingers and stuff. Then I could just go bowling.
Yeah, I could live my best Big Lebowski life. I think it's the bowling ball.
I think it's the move or the monitor. Maybe depends on the monitor quality.
Dude, the monitor was like the ones they have on the announce desk.
Yeah, I'm taking the bowling ball. It's the bowling ball for me.
I think it goes bowling ball, teddy bear.
Yeah, what?
Fire extinguisher? That's not bad.
What am I doing with that? I already have one.
Well, it maybe yours is old. I don't know.
Anyways, what's
near the barbecue?
White, what is it called again? White Rabbit? No.
I think it's called White Rabbit. Is like the gift exchange where you...
Something like that. Secret Santa also is a thing. Yeah. But no, I know what you mean. The
White Elephant. Swap. It's called White Elephant. White Elephant.
Yeah. Have you ever done one?
I got a propeller hat.
That's flames.
It was flames. And then the propeller hat is why I met my best friends in college, because I wore it during move-in. And they saw me and they're like, that guy's insane.
Why did you wear it during move-in?
Because my friends in high school, who did the gift exchange. They're like, you have to wear this during you move into university. And I said, okay. So I did. And then the best man for my wedding that you were at, he bought us propeller hats because he's literally saw me in the hallway. I was like, I don't know what that guy's fucking deal is, but I'm partying with him. And then he came over the next day and we have been best friends for now 14 years.
At the wedding reception? Is that the reception?
The reception.
Stage after wedding?
Yeah. Ceremony, reception.
Yeah. At the reception, my man's just wearing the fucking propeller hat the whole time.
Yeah. The speech that I gave, because obviously the speeches were ever like the best man and the parents, the bride and groom, whatever. And then my wife and I talked, and for part of it, I had the propeller hat on. And then I was like, oh, fuck, these are the only photos that we're going to have of us doing our speech. So I did take it off, but there are some good shots of me in a propeller hat.
It's freaking hilarious. I've never done one of these.
Really?
But yeah, not a white elephant. I've never done a white elephant. But my girlfriend did one for her job last week, and she ended up with a mini waffle maker.
I bought a mini waffle maker today.
I've never been happier. I have wanted a waffle maker for like 4 years.
I
just could never justify it today. Because here's the thing. It's a mini one, so it's not like that. But like, it'll just be like the size of like an Eggo or something, which is kind of annoying because I like my big waffles. But you know what? I'm okay with it for the simple fact that now I have a waffle maker and I don't have to spend like $70 to buy a nicer one.
I think a mini waffle maker is the move, and here's why. It's small, but like it's the right size for the amount of times I make waffles. You know what I mean? Like I don't need
a waffle. Yeah, but I want two, man.
No, but here's the thing. I don't want to take a waffle maker that takes up a lot of space in my kitchen. Like air fryer, I use that shit all the time. It could be as big as it wants. Waffle maker, a lot less frequent. So I'll just bust out the little mini, pop, pop, here's some waffles, and I'm set.
You know what's a good thing you could also make with it? It's like waffle hash browns.
Yeah,
like
savory waffles.
You clump up some like shaved potatoes. Yeah. Boom. Boom. Let it run the time. You're golden. Maybe stick it in the air fryer if you want them a little more crisp.
This is one of our longest tangents. There is a match happening.
Cena just put out the fire that he didn't start. And then Santa comes out.
Ricardo Rodriguez tries to hug Santa because he feels so bad about what happened earlier. Santa fucking clocks him.
Yeah, rocks him with the sack. From the sack, he takes out a stocking. Puts it on his hand, and then I realize, well, I already knew it because I could tell by his gait, but then I realize Mick Foley is here, and he's going to fucking use Stocko on Alberto Del Rio, who is just up on the ropes, just laying there, just resting there, like, what the fuck's going on? Anyways, we get a Mr. Stocko spot.
We get an FU by Cena. Cena wins and celebrates with old Saint Nick.
Old Saint Mick.
Let's rank our Santas. So our Santas in total: Vader Claus, Tajiri Claus, Bubba Claus, Sylvan Claus, Mick Foley.
All of DX. Can I throw the real Santa that Foley talks to before he gets jumped?
Yes.
So that one's number one.
One. Real Santa's one. Old Saint Mick is two?
Yes. Okay, now what are we basing this off? What's the criteria?
Our own personal
How
property.
Likely they are to be Santa?
No, it's just, who cares?
Oh, well, Tajiri Claus is like number three for me, then, if we're putting Mick at two.
Over Stone Cold Santa Claus?
Brother, Tajiri gave Tori Wilson fucking thongs. Like,
Tajiri is Old Saint Liz.
Tajiri was horny on Maine, bruh.
on Maine.
On national television. So it's real Santa Claus. It's
Bubba's last.
The Jerry Claus. Oh no, Sylvan Claus is last.
No, because he just went out like a bitch.
Sorry, the Mean Street Posse Claus is last.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. 100%. Mr. Ass Claus is up there though. I like Mr. Ass Claus.
I think Stone Cold's after Tajiri. And then maybe Mr. Ass Claus and then the Road Claus Jesse James. and then it's Sylvan Claus.
Bubba, we can throw Bubba in there somewhere.
Bubba's above.
If you want Sylvan in there last, I guess we'll do that.
Bubba's horny on Maine too, but Tajiri was like,
Jerry was at demon. He was on demon time, bro.
So your recommendation is the Christmas party, right?
Yeah, the Christmas party. But for matches, it's the Rock Undertaker match.
Here's my other thing: if you had to pick an episode from this year for people to go back and listen to on our week off, who would you recommend they go and listen to this year? What was like an episode that you loved?
I was like, fuck. The hell? Oh, there was a really funny one not too long ago.
There have been a couple really good. I mean, the Honky Tonk Man is just us shitting on the Honky Tonk for for an hour, and that's a good time.
Yeah, I gotta. Oh man, this is tough.
Oh, Ahmed Johnson is a really good one. Go listen to the Ahmed Johnson
was
episode.
A fun one. Yeah.
The man, Sid two-parter. If there's any series, do the Sid two-parter because the Sid two-parter is a hoot.
Yes. Let's see. What else was this year, Evan? Let me know more than anything.
So we had our first ever Japanuary.
The Boogeyman episode was a great time.
We had Kenta Kobashi, Shinya Hashimoto, Io Shirai, Owen Hart. We've covered Stacey Keibler. We've covered Jim Dugan. We've covered Jazz. We've covered Gene Snitsky.
Oh,
we've covered
fuck all of that. Rene Dupree. Everyone stop what you're doing right now and go listen to the Rene Dupree episode.
A reminder, next week we are off for the holidays, but there's extra content coming to our YouTube channel. Go to YouTube at Crossbody of Work. Hit subscribe. We're on our road to 150 subscribers and on our way to 200. Be part of it. We have lots of good content there. Take a card, make a card, our wrestling drafts, and we're throwing some throwback episodes on there as well if you'd like to listen to your podcasts through YouTube. We also have our end of year awards coming up, the Cross Bodies. The first time we're ever doing end of year awards.
I thought we agreed on the workies.
Oh, sorry. The workies. We're going to get the workies going. Come join us for the workies on YouTube right at the end of the year so you can relive the year of wrestling that was 2023. Follow us on social media at Crossbody of Work on Instagram, on Twitter. Follow Javier wherever he tells you right now.
God damn it. A new year. End of the year, and I still haven't made the damn sign.
New Year's resolution for you is the sign.
Yeah. I'm on the Twitter machine, at JMelloSports. Lob the boy a follow.
Follow me on Twitter as well, at @itsevengomes, @itsevangomes. Wherever you're listening, give us a Christmas present and rate 5 stars. It would help us out tremendously. Hit subscribe as we continue to grow. Fullpressshop.com, cop the merch, support the boys. Neither of us wearing the merch today because we're in our festive sweaters.
Bah humbug. I'm not
Bah humbug squitter, say bah humbug. Squitter sweater. And I have my Chance the Gift Wrapper sweater on. We're doing great. Fullpressshop.com, of course, for the merch. Fullpresswrestling.com for all the links to these matches and all of our matches. You can go back and listen to tons of our episodes and watch some of these matches if it sounds like a good time when we're covering it. Thank you for what has been our most successful year thus far. We are ready to dive in to 2024, which will be our fifth calendar year of doing the podcast. It's a lot. It's a half decade that we have been doing this podcast. We have grown up doing this. We're almost at 200 episodes. Japanuary coming soon, as well as our 200th episode. But we leave you with this. Javier, any final words for the people?
Well, before we go, I have to tell the people what the first episode of Japanuary is going to be.
Yes, you put news on Japanuary. Do it.
Because there's not going to be an episode between now and then.
That's right. We're taking a break.
Week one of Japanuary, we'll be covering FMW, the terrifying, terrifying promotion that we'll give you more details on there. But just know it's a lot of extreme.
It's going to be weird.
And in doing so, we are covering someone who is almost synonymous with FMW. Atsushi Onita. Most of you know him from the exploding C4 deathmatch thing that AEW did a terrible job of trying to recreate.
Yeah.
I know him as a fucking crazy human being, and I'm so excited to cover his matches. And we cannot wait to present our findings to you guys. We'll reveal more after that episode for the rest of the month. But we're starting off in FMW. We're starting off with Onita, and it's going to be a very explosive start to the year.
A very explosive start to the year indeed. Thank you so much for joining us. If this was your first episode in 2023 or you've been with us since the beginning, thank you so much for joining us. We will be back with even more good stuff in 2024. Talk to you then.
Later.